Welcome to the Curious Tech Podcast. This is episode 187 for October 25th, 2022, Finding Google. My name is Hilly Henning. I'm joined on this rainy evening by Devin Rizzo and in a racing chair and maybe a Pixel.
No, Pixel is pouting.
Oh, okay. I'll be abandoning me a little. Oh, no, he may be coming back. So I've been gone all day. So he. Oh, here he goes.
No, Pixel tried to jump into a hot pot today and was thrown off the counter and is now pouting.
Good for ejecting your cat out of the hot pot, but... Woo! Sorry. My cat slid off the desk right now. That's a lot of cat to slide off my desk, so...
Yeah, Pixel tried to cook himself.
Yikes. Well, understandable, but, understandable that you've had to eat him off the hot pot, so,
See, there's no understanding why he tried to touch boiling water.
But Bubbles. It's his Bubbles, Devin. Bubbles.
Apparently Bubbles.
So, we are in the middle of robot season and fall semester, halfway through that now, so it's a very busy time of the year. I've been traveling a bunch, hence the weird show schedule, and so we have a fun combined event between the tiny, tiny Apple event and the bigger Google event, and some miscellaneous EV news and other fun tech stuff like Razer. So we're going to kick it off first with the Google event. It's been a while since I watched it, so I cannot remember the order of this event at all, but the Pixel 7 and the Pixel 7 Pro were both announced. They're like a little bit sleeker versions of the Pixel 6 and the Pixel 6 Pro. Newer Google processors. There's a little bit more difference between the normal Pixel 7 and the Pro. So with like the Pro, you get like a faster screen and like a telephoto.
It's so dumb. It is so dumb.
You can't make Android users happy. They complain that the normal Pixel was too expensive, so they cut the price of the normal Pixel by removing features. And
honestly,
now
I wish Android phones would do the same thing that Apple does. You've got a phone, and then you've got the same phone, but make it bigger. I would be so happy if they did that.
I just got an iPhone 14 Pro, and I do have the triple camera array, so.
Exactly. I'm not, this is the Pixel that I would actually legitimately consider buying, because the Pixel 6 didn't have a fatal flaw. They finally figured out how to build a phone that doesn't suck. And so, round two, okay, Pixel 7. And I'm actually in the market to buy a new phone, because my S21 is starting to act stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And then they short sell you.
Well, okay. The Pixel 7 is a really good value, particularly at $600. So I would say it's a flagship level phone at about $600. Premium materials, a good processor.
I wouldn't call 600 flagship. I'd say 800 minimum for flagship.
Well, I mean, it's competing with flagships, but it's a good price. So flagship is more about capability and less about how much a company is charging. So.
Well, true, but also in 2022, in the land of triple cameras, I would not consider it a flagship if it doesn't have a triple camera array anymore. Because Samsung, Apple, HTC, they're all putting triple cameras in everything.
Does HTC? No, HTC doesn't make phones anymore.
Not HTC.
OnePlus.
OnePlus. There you go. OnePlus.
Actually, OnePlus sells approximately zero phones. So.
I know a lot of people with OnePlus phones, actually.
I'm just joking. Well, in terms of like the overall Android marketplace, there's like a high concentration in like geeks and early adopters. And then I think worldwide they have a respectable business. It's not like the nothing phone. which has like zero market share but looks really cool. So
Again, if the Nothing phone was in the US, I would buy it hands down. But that's not an option.
well,
And
but
so
the
I would
nothing,
not call the
but
Pixel 7 a flagship phone because it doesn't have a triple camera. In this, in 2022, when everyone else is putting triple cameras in their flagships, if this doesn't have a triple camera, it can't measure up. The Pixel 7 Pro, I would call a flagship because it has all the flagship features. The 7 doesn't.
maybe depends. I don't know. It's still a
But
very
flagship or not, it's still disappointing that the fact that the 7 doesn't get all the features that the 7 Pro does.
well, but the 7 is also $300 cheaper.
Yeah, I'm aware, but I'm saying, why do they do this and crush me like this? I wanted to buy this phone.
Well,
I so wanted to buy this phone.
it does. I mean, it's a 6.3 inch screen, so it's about the size of your current
It is
phone.
bigger than my current phone.
Is it big? Or no, yours is a 6.1, isn't it?
6.1.
Okay,
So the
Pro.
small one is bigger than my phone already. And then I went and played with one at Best Buy, and I could barely hold it without a case. And if I put it on a case, it's going to add another 3/8 of an inch in width.
So it's got a respectable amount of, I mean, amount of 8 gigs of RAM, 128 gigs of storage. It comes with Google's Tensor G2 processor with the newer security stuff. It does come with a free built-in VPN from Google One. It does have a rear 50 megapixel camera sensor and a 10 megapixel front-facing sensor. So really. Oh, it also has both fingerprint unlock for the under-display fingerprint reader and face unlock now. It does support dual SIM, so that it has a nano SIM tray and an eSIM tray, and Wi-Fi 6. You do get 5 years of Pixel updates as well with this guy, along with a host of all the other Pixel googly Pixel features. So a lot of them are around like camera. The like Pixel dialer that will use AI to like step through a phone tree for you, so you don't have to hang on the phone the entire time. Car crash detection. They're using art like the what is it called? Da, 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 da. Later next year, I'm sorry, coming soon. The phone app on the Pixel phones will use the extra microphones to do noise canceling on your voice whenever you're making a phone call, which I don't know why no one else does this. And of course, since it's a Pixel, you get all of the camera features like cinematic blur, smart eraser. It does get the super zoom. It looks like it has 2x and an 8x. Maybe that's no. So it has a 50 megapixel sensor, so it does give you an effective 2x zoom. So basically what they're doing is they have a gigantic canvas, and what they're doing is they're taking the center of that image, which is the best part of any kind of like huge computational image like that, to effectively give you a 2x zoom. And then I guess the 8x is going to be all digital, so. Also, they have a new feature called Photo Unblur, which I don't know why this is specific to the Pixel phones.
It is not. It actually will be coming to Google Photos just as a whole. It's just debuting at the sevens.
Oh, okay. I guess, are they doing it locally or,
No idea.
okay. I know at first that some people were wondering if it required like some, I mean, some local machine learning chips on it. Also, Magic Eraser, which is super cool, and I wish my iPhone had that feature. And some really nice like photo editing tools. So yeah, overall, it's a solid overall phone. It does have an effective 2x, but that's not really an upgrade for Devin. So I don't blame Devin for wanting the
I have no problem with the price. I have no problem with the hardware. Just why could
you
they have
want
not, I would pay $900 for the Pixel 7 as is if it had the same features as its Pro. Because in reality, the bigger phone should just be a bigger screen and maybe a bigger battery. That's all it should be.
Mm-hmm. Not feature differentiation.
Mm-hmm. And why does the bigger one always get more features when you don't need the extra space for those features? You could fit the same features on the small phone. Honestly, I'm hoping that phones come full circle again, because phones used to be humongous and they got smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, and now they're getting ginormous again. I'm hoping we hit some sort of ceiling and they start going back down in size again, because phones are getting way too big.
I mean, I think we kind of capped a couple of years ago. I don't see how they're getting any bigger, bigger, bigger at this point.
They're still, like, they're pushing it out every year. I looked at a trend on iPhones and Samsung phones. The big ones, they're pushing them out, like, 0.1 inch every year. Mm. And so it's like, it's bigger, it's bigger, it's bigger. Oh, shit, this thing is now 7 inches wide.
Well, but
we haven't hit that yet, but then we're gonna get to that.
Well, I would like to see that chart, because I also know a lot of the phones over the last couple of years have been removing more and more bezel. So, I'm wondering if, like, what the physical dimension differences are, and not just the screen.
Yeah, no, I was looking at physical dimensions, not screen size.
Interesting. Well, people do love big screens, so. And
I'm just hoping, let's go back to small phones.
Well, Apple released a small phone and nobody bought it.
If I was an Apple user, I would have bought a small phone.
You could still buy it. It's there.
That requires me going to iOS, though. Just no.
You sound to me like a Mac user who just, like, out of hand reach. Oh.
Talking, I can hear you.
And we have a Pixel.
Pixel has joined us wheeling outside for a bit, and now is promptly knocking things over.
I do, going back to the Pixel 7, I do wish that the Pixel 7 had better colors. I don't like colors this year.
I'm not a fan of the colors, but at the same time, I don't care, because I'm never going to see the color right now.
It could be neon pink,
and I would complain about it, but at the same time, it wouldn't matter, because it's just going in an auto box anyway.
Mm-hmm. So, Pixel 7 Pro is a big one.
It's huge.
It's 6.7. It does have the triple camera array, has all of the photography features. It does come with an extra 4 gigs of RAM. And a bigger battery.
Like, honestly, I have zero complaints about Pixel 7 Pro, other than the size. If it was not that big, I would have bought it by now.
Eek.
And you know me and my pickiness about phones. Like, I would have bought this day one if it was not so humongous.
It is a very large phone. I don't know. I'm glad that Apple finally I'm glad that Apple a couple of years ago made the phones equivalent, so maybe Google will take a note from Apple next year and just make the phones different sizes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if the Pixel 7 had the same features as the 7 Pro, I would have bought it right. Please don't eat my medication.
So I take it your next phone you're looking forward to is the Galaxy S
23.
Gotcha. I thought it was the 22, and then from my head, I got it mixed up in my head. Cool. Mm-hmm. So you got a couple more months of that, but hopefully we'll see something in Mobile World Congress.
Mm-hmm.
The unblurring is cool.
The unblurring is very cool.
I really like the voice isolation. I wish that Apple would do that. And I don't know why it's taken this many years onto a smartphone to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
And also, I dig the wait time feature. Like, I wish, I mean, that's like that you can like call a 1-800 number like AppleCare and be like, hey, it's gonna take an hour, and we're like basically like gonna put the robot on hold for an hour, and we'll let you know. And so,
The
all right.
long-awaited Pixel Watch was finally announced to very mixed reviews.
So it comes in one size. It's rounded. It does come with a wide variety of different band types, which I love the bands a lot. I didn't get to play with the locking mechanism, but I've heard it's pretty good. It's
I
like
did, and it was very difficult to put on.
I mean, can you do the Apple Watch one though?
Yeah, I can do the Apple Watch one just fine. The Apple Watch one slides in really smoothly. This one, oh gosh, Crystal, you are not dying.
He's seeing everything he needs to see, so now he needs to be let out.
Why is this? Ouch. Yeah, no, the Pixel Watch ones I found kind of difficult to do. And it wasn't just me. Two other people were there and they also had a hard time putting it, taking it on and off.
I would have to play with it. I do know that, like, you do have to wear some of these mechanisms in, so maybe it was that. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm very disappointed that that the bands are not universal like every other watch on the planet, smart Wear OS smartwatch on the planets.
Which is
Because if it
approximately
was,
0% market share.
shut up. There are plenty
Well,
of good Android Wear smartwatches out there.
but they're
There's a
not gonna.
reason some of the bands that I have, I bought with my Moto 360 how many years ago, and I can still wear them today.
Yeah, but Google's a different company, so they are under no obligation. And plus, there's not enough Wear OS watches out there
But
to
no,
even.
hear me out. Google bought Fitbit. I can wear Fitbit watches on my Samsung watch. And this is basically a Fitbit. So it would make sense if it had the same bands. And if it did, I would buy these like weird little woven ones. I would have bought them day one.
I see this as a complete reboot of Wear OS, and this is the beginning of the reboot of Wear OS, so this is like the Apple Watch 1.0. So they are restarting the band collections. This will be the new mechanism going forward.
I hope not. Ugh.
So I mean, it works for it does look really nice with the rounded body like they have, because whenever you do like attach like a leather band or a metal band, it changes the look of the watch drastically versus like an Apple Watch. So yeah, the screen is a little bit on the small size. I wish there were a bigger screen size, because like it's the equivalent of the smaller Apple Watch, which it's fine, but like I'm so used to my like 45 millimeter that I think it would take me a little adjusting to get used to it. Yeah, it's Wear OS. I do dig all the watch faces. I thought those are really materially and classy. I like those a bunch, especially the analog one. I'm sorry, the
Those are
analog.
available on other smartwatches.
I
Though there
like
wasn't any that I particularly cared enough for to download.
the one on the banner image from The Verge with the metal band, the silver metal band. That's my favorite. So
No.
it's
That one's
full it's it,
okay.
it's neat because it well it like rotates when it's turned on, so it looks
Yeah,
really
I've got one that's similar, but it's similar enough to this that I wouldn't bother to download this one just because it's similar enough.
So, but yeah, they're really nice watch bands. There are some questions on how fragile it is, because some reviewers like broke it immediately,
I broke one
and
at Best Buy.
but then I've also seen other reviews that they didn't have any trouble. So we don't know right now if it's a design flaw or maybe they're shipping out some lemons because Google is new at making watches. So just keep that in mind.
I'm thinking it's probably a design flaw just because the way they rounded that glass.
Anyway, I don't know. I don't know if that's a design flaw or if it's they're putting out lemons, or maybe it's a combo of both.
My theory is that rounded glass is hard to make. And from an engineering standpoint, they might have made that curve on the round bubbly bit too thin. Because every picture I've seen is that it's broken right on that curve.
Yeah, but like, well, this is like a curved square on the Apple Watch, and you haven't heard any issues of like that curve, but maybe it is the geometry of a circle that makes it more brittle, or maybe it is too thin, and maybe they will have to issue a revision.
Well, hold your watch back up again.
It kind of.
Yeah, but you still have that big metal bumper around it, and that curve is nowhere near as dramatic.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I haven't, we'll see. Like, it's been what, out for like 3 weeks now, so
Yeah,
I guess.
something like that. I'm yet to see one in the wild. I've only ever seen it at Best Buy.
Yeah, it's it does start at 350. It's 400 if you want cellular. It's like Wear OS. So, I'm sorry. It is Wear OS, but with like Fitbit kind of grafted on there, which is kind of weird. Like, I dig the Fitbit apps on there, but it doesn't. They feel like someone just like installed the Fitbit apps on the watch instead of like it being built into the watch, if that makes sense.
I understand. I kind of felt the same way, but I also didn't mind it.
It feels like the Nike experience on the Apple Watch when you like have the Nike running app on there in addition to the Apple Workout app. It's fine, it works fine, but it doesn't feel native. So maybe like going forward they'll kind of like merge the two a little bit more. I think it's kind of I think they should be giving away Fitbit Premium for free. Honestly though, I feel like it's kind of a little short-sighted to lock some of the best device features behind a paywall, especially because
Yeah.
like Pixel Watch people are like your enthusiast Google users, and they will like tell everyone how much they love the Pixel and the Pixel Watch. And like, I would look at it like free marketing. Like, you should just give Fitbit Premium to these people as long as the watch works. That way, like, they can go and tell everyone how much they love the watch. It's cheaper than having to put a billboard up in like Times Square.
Yeah, and I was looking at it and I was like, oh, I don't need Fitbit Premium. And then what was it? There was something on here on Fitbit Premium that I was like, oh, well, that would have been helpful.
Wasn't it like the overall wellness score and the deeper sleep tracking?
Oh, it was the daily readiness score.
I wish the Apple Watch did that. Some third-party apps do that, but I think that would be kind of cool to have that built into
Yeah, I really
watch.
liked just like how it takes into more than just how you slept. It also takes into like how hard you worked out or how many steps you took and like how crazy your heart rate went the day before to kind of tell you, hey, oh, I slept 7 hours and I slept well. Why do I still feel like a disaster?
Yeah, I mean, I also liked like the redesign, like Assistant and Gmail and like texting app, basically like the new Google apps on Wear OS. I haven't gotten to really play with those recently, but I do like the design language of all of that. So it's Again, this feels like a reboot of Wear OS, and I wouldn't be surprised if most of these features from the Pixel Watch end up coming to other brands as well. But
Not really sure how I feel about it because, like, I had the Pixel Watch on as well as my watch on, and it's like it felt like it didn't want you to use it as much.
It feels like that's by design. That like.
And I don't like that. I like poking at my watch and using it as an input device. I am using the computer on my hand. Not, I have a computer on my hand that's just kind of monitoring things and occasionally, hey, here's a thing.
Yeah, this feels very much like a, it wants to be like a fitness device, a notification hub, and Google Assistant on your wrist, but like they don't want you to spend a ton of time on the watch.
And I spent a ton of time on my wrist, especially at tournaments.
Oh, I do too. For me, the Apple Watch has become like a little mini computer on my wrist.
And I don't know if I particularly like that shift of not so much a computer on my hand, which is what I want and how I use my watch.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the Pixel experience as a whole. I mean, Google wants to like use machine learning and computer smarts to like automate as much of your life as possible. But you can still go and install that third party stuff on the normal Pixel phones. So
This is true.
I think as time goes on, as the watch Pixel Watch 2 comes out and they keep updating Wear OS, it'll get more and more fiddly bits that you can tinker with. But I think this is a solid refresh overall. If you buy one, definitely get a warranty just because we don't know about the design issue with it. But I mean, overall, I think it's a good like 1.0. I think
Yeah,
it's
Pixel Watch
this.
had one job, and that job is to not suck. And I think it succeeds at not sucking, but it is definitely not a pro level smartwatch yet. It's definitely a 1.0 enthusiast watch.
Right now, I would give it like a C or a C plus. I would give the Samsung watch a B or a B plus, and then I would give like the Apple Watch an A or an A plus. So,
That makes sense. Though I do question, it's like, how long ago was this thing designed and built, and how long did Google sit on this first waiting on software based on the processor choice and the battery size choice?
I think
Because
Wear OS.
this feels like it should have came out back with, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago.
Maybe a year or two, but I think but Dell did take so long that they had to wait for the Fitbit deal to complete, and then they could do everything. So I feel like that's another reason Fitbit feels a little grafted in right now, and not 100% native. I don't know. Like my predictions for the Pixel Watch 2, maybe a bigger design. Yeah, bigger screen. I'm sorry, a bigger screen option. Probably less bezel. Fitbit Premium for everybody. I think that's just going to be part of the deal of it. More capable Wear OS. And then maybe the year after that, do like a rugged edition, like the Apple Watch Ultra. For like sports
Yeah,
enthusiasts.
that would make sense.
But I think that Fitbit has like the foundations a lot better than Google Fit did. I mean, because it does like cycle tracking and stress management and sleep tracking and the readiness score and
Assuming that Google doesn't kill Fitbit, this could be finally a positive uptake for Google Fit. And realizing that health and wellness is more than just basic sleep tracking and working out.
yes, I like this philosophy of Fitbit of like, hey, your overall health is a lot more than like how fast you can run or how much you can do, like how good your like presidential PE score was, like presidential fitness test that we did when we were in like PE for like the little paper certificate of
I
like,
remember that.
oh man. So those were awful.
Those were awful.
So anyway, solid 1.0. But yeah. But yeah, I would definitely buy that warranty just in case, because this is a 1.0 Google product. Even if the screen's not an issue, you don't know what's going to happen in a couple of months. But yeah, I think it's I'm excited about the future of Wear OS. I'll put it that way, especially whenever the next Gear Watch comes out and the new Fossils start rolling out and whatnot too. So, all right. Oh, so
they finally made a Pixel tablet.
Yes, which is not the Pixel tablet Devin wants, but it's probably the one that Google deserves right now. So,
okay, I've finally come to terms with it. I've been such a long Google user for so long. I am ready for Google to be where Apple is with all of its pro level gear. Because I would be so happy if Google had an iPad Pro competitor.
Mm-hmm.
I would be so happy if they had an iPhone 14 Pro Max competitor. But they don't. Yeah, it's hard to not be extremely disappointed at my options.
Which is Samsung. Samsung is your pro brand.
Exactly.
So,
and every year it's like I try to get excited about the Pixel stuff and I get my hopes up and then I'm just like let down so much.
Well, I mean, with Samsung, they're making your pro gear that you like.
This is why I own Samsung everything at this point.
But,
because there is no other option.
But I mean, like, the Pixel line is like what my family buys. I mean, my family doesn't buy the iPhone 14 Pro. They buy the iPhone 14. They don't buy the iPad Pro. They buy the iPad. So this is probably, especially with like the state of Android 13 tablet apps right now.
There are none.
There aren't many. So I do like, some would call this like making lemonade out of lemons when you're given lemons right now, but that's basically what this is. So imagine a Nest Hub Max, but bigger. I think it's like a 13-inch screen. Or no. Is it a 10-inch?
Oh, it is a 10-inch. Yeah, it's 10-inch.
Okay. Imagine
this is literally a detachable Nest Hub Max.
That runs Android 13.
It's so weird. It is so weird. I don't understand why they put it on a little fabric-y dock. Like, okay. I understand this is their I understand the tablet being the tablet, but I don't understand why everyone is saying tablets stay at home. Tablets don't stay at home. The whole point of a tablet is it is portable. And it's not as big as your 17-inch laptop.
I think most people keep tablets at home. I'm not going to.
Who keeps tablets at home? Either you are a tech enthusiast using it as a portable computer, or you are a parent of a child under the age of 8 and you hand them the tablet in public so that they don't scream and run everywhere.
I don't know. Anyway, this is a Nest Hub that you can take the screen off and it's a tablet. And like when you attach it to the hub, it pairs and you get better speakers. I think
it's also the dock is also that weird fabric that is impossible to clean.
Yeah. Bah. I don't know. I want this, but for my iPad Pro. I would love to be able to like MagSafe my iPad Pro to a speaker like this. And it become a smart screen because like Apple doesn't have any kind of smart screen solution right now. So
okay, fine. This is what they did. Okay, fine. It comes with a thing. Why is the dock not USB-C?
It's just charging it.
It should be USB-C. It's 2022.
I do not care. It charges the thing. I don't care.
You are the biggest person of it's not USB-C. It should be USB-C. Every time we talk about a new product on this podcast, every single time.
It's a speaker. I don't care that much.
Every single time we bring up a cool product. Oh, it charges with proprietary. Oh, it charges a barrel connector. It should be USB-C. It should be USB-C. And now you don't care?
No, I don't care. I just don't. I am so just like the bar is so low of Android tablets. I don't care. I just want them to release this thing and keep working on Android 13 Because as we've seen with the Pixel Watch, the more work Google does on its own stuff, the better like the Samsung gear. So I know that like you deeply want the same like the Galaxy Tab Pro. You know, I mean to be like a hybrid, like I have the iPad Pro that like it's like a tablet, it's like a mini laptop, and you can, you know, pull the screen off and draw on it or use your finger and then pop it back on a keyboard and like terminal into something and like connect a USB to serial cable to a robot. So, you know, but the more Google works on this thing, the better the overall platform will become for you. So I just want this thing to come out. I would love it to be popular. I hope Google has a hint so that you eventually get your Android Pro tablet that you so deeply desire, you and many of my friends.
Yeah. The
So,
bezels are ugly, though. You have to at least agree with me there. Those are some chunky bezels.
we'll get to it later, but I think the new iPad is chunky bezels too. So, I mean, if you're a cheap tablet,
How much is this thing?
we don't know yet.
Oh, okay. I thought they. Okay. It's been a
If
while
you're
since the since the. Since the keynote, I thought it was already. I thought it was already.
No, I mean, if you look at the new baseline iPad, its bezels are as thick as this guy is. I think this one just extension accentuates it by being
The
white.
fact that they're white.
Yes.
Okay.
I've had a white tablet one time in my life, and I both loved and hated it because, like, it was really nice when you're reading a book or like a comic book. But any other content, just like, you'd see all the borders and it's frustrating. So anyway,
Even not frustrating is their new podcast, which is the Made by Google Hardware podcast, which was actually quite fascinating.
oh, did you actually listen to more than one episode?
Yeah. I mean, it's
Okay.
part infomercial, but the engineering part of the podcast is great.
I
The
need a better.
infomercial part is weird and annoying, but the actual technical part is interesting. And they're in great little like snackable 30-minute increments.
Oh, okay. There are only three of them, so yeah. I guess if it were a YouTube video, I probably would watch them by now, but it's a podcast, so I just forgot to subscribe.
And see, I'm actually the quite the opposite. If a YouTube video is more than 30 minutes, there is a very low chance that I will watch it.
I watch like science and history YouTube and tech YouTube for hours every single day. So for me, I'm just completely into it. All
Because I
right.
can't watch YouTube at work, but I can listen to podcasts at work, no problem.
Oh, see, I can't focus on either. I have to listen to music. So
Then when I
I'll
finally get home, it's like, oh, I'd rather watch a show or a movie than entertainment content.
All right. Speaking of Fossil Gen 6 is coming out with Wear OS 3. I don't know what's the wellness features about it. Maybe there's new Fossil Health apps. Am I reading that right?
I think so.
And new bands. Wow, there are lots of bands.
There are lots of bands that I will probably buy.
Yeah, so it's called the Gen 6 Wellness Edition. So I think the wellness is like, hey, it's what we're OS 3, and plus we have to have a Fitbit competitor, so we've had to build out all of our own watches. I'm sorry, all of our own health infrastructure. So this is what I think Google should do, is give away the Fitbit for stuff for free for Pixel people, but then like charge other Wear OS people, like, hey, if you can get all the Fitbity stuff for whatever that cost. But overall, Fossil hardware has always been really solid for the most part. It's affordable. They come in a million different styles, so you can have like girly watches and, you know, I mean, completely blacked out watches and blinged out watches and rugged watches. You can have a little bit of everything. So, Yeah, hopefully now that they have Wear OS, we'll start seeing a lot more hardware variety as well. Because that's, I guess, the neat thing about the Fossil brand, sort of Wear OS, is instead of having like the $600 Apple Watch rugged, you could have like a $300 like classy watch that you wear at work and like a rugged watch that you just swap to, I mean, whenever you go work out. So maybe like two of them for $300. So I don't know. Just my thoughts.
Logitech and Herman Miller have made another gaming chair. This thing looks like it came straight out of Star Trek, and it looks kind of amazing. But it is also $1,000.
Oh, I thought it was, I read it as it's $500 cheaper. I'm
Oh, it.
$500.
I did too, and then I kept reading and was like, oh, okay,
And don't get me
it's.
wrong, $500 is still more than I paid for this chair. And this chair was already expensive. But like, I was like, ooh, Herman Miller and Logitech?
Yeah, like Logitech
Like,
G, great for gaming gear. Herman Miller, great ergonomic chairs. But.
this is called the Vantom gaming chair, and it's $995.
Comes in white, red, and black, and a 12-year warranty. Dang, that's impressive.
Well, I mean, if my chair breaks, maybe this will be my next one. I mean, if it lasts that long and I have a warranty that lasts that long, maybe it's worth it.
Yeah, okay, I
Especially.
didn't realize that. That might actually make it worth it.
Yeah, because I mean, but what stuff, what other things do you own that have 11-year warranties? Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, actually I don't think I own a piece of hardware of anything that's lasted that long. I mean, okay, it's made out of die-cast aluminum and glass-filled nylon. The upholstery is post-consumer recycled textiles.
And it does have a little support pad, thoracic support pad, which is the first gaming chair of this type to support.
Thoracic support? What part of the body is that?
Your lower back.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I bought this my Ergo Chair Pro. Well, I bought the two, but I think the two is now called the Pro. So, or maybe I have Classic, or no, I have the Pro. So, yeah, the lower back supports why I bought my Ergo Chair. So, and it's half the price. So, all
Yeah.
right, but my warranty is not even, I don't even know what my warranty is on my Ergo Chair.
I don't know if my chair has a warranty. It was $120 on Amazon.
Oh, I have a 2-year warranty, so I am already out of warranty on my chair. Had I bought the Logitech one, I would still have 9 more years of warranty.
Well, Beat Saber is getting more interesting. It has a Lizzo song pack. Now for things like Truth Hurts, Good as Hell, and other songs that have been all over the radio and TikTok. Yeah. I did buy this. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but from what I've seen on screen recordings, they look fun to play.
Pretty nice.
All right.
All right, so Tesla semi trucks.
So they were announced in 2017. The world largely forgot about them. But they are going to be delivered in December to Pepsi, actually.
Pre-ordered 100 of them, actually.
Yeah, and I think Walmart and some other major national brand ordered them too. But yeah, Pepsi is getting a fleet of them on December 1st.
Currently, the trucks have a 500-mile range, and it can charge up to 70% of its 300 or 500-mile range in about 30 minutes.
Which is impressive.
Yes, especially for how big that battery is, I imagine is going to be. Yeah. So, yeah, just a couple of months. The Volvo EX90 is a new electric SUV with bi-directional charging capabilities.
I like
So,
this one. It looks weird.
I don't like how it slopes.
Really, that's why I like it. It has this weird slope on it. This looks kind of cool.
No, it just looks strange. I don't like how it slopes, but I do like the reverse charging, so I thought that was cool.
Yes.
Honda Prologue EV.
So this is going to be coming out in 2024. It's going to be bigger than a CRV, and it's going to have a big cabin with cargo space. This could be the first real EV family car.
Yes, that's not just for
With
Tesla fans.
exactly, because Teslas are great, but they are not great for more than like two kids.
Yes, or people who like cup holders.
Exactly. This could be I need three or four car seats. And cup holders for sippy cups, or I'm carrying half the soccer team across town 3 times a week.
You would need a Model X, I guess, for
But yeah, no,
that.
this looks like a normal car, but it's EV. Honda's got a new logo for the EVs. It looks like it's like, I don't know. I like the new logo on it.
I like the it has a really large touch screen as well.
Does it say price?
They said it will be comparable to the Passport in both in terms of size and price. The 2022 Passport starts at around 38,000.
Which is a little expensive, but when you're kind of getting that much of a car, I think that's average, isn't it?
For this level of SUV, that's average. Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean it's a Honda, so it's a little bit on the higher range. Honda and Toyota charge a little bit more than like a mainly because of like market share than like a Nissan or a Ford. But Honda makes really solid gear. So well, cars. So I mean, cars are basically smart. I mean, electric cars are basically electronics at this point anyway. So I'm sorry, tech. So yeah, we'll call
Yeah,
it gear. It's part.
going to
This
be
will be
out
part
in
of your daily carry.
2024, but this could be the first real electric family car. And plus, it has a
Plus.
frunk, which means if you carry a lot of crap because you've got kids, you got two trunks.
That and then it's a Honda, which means there are lots and lots and lots and lots of Honda dealerships all over the country. So if you have to get the car serviced, I mean, in probably better hands. More
Yeah.
locations to go to.
Yes. So Twitter is getting the long-awaited edit button in the US, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand if you have Twitter Blue.
I canceled Twitter Blue, so I don't. I guess I'm so trained with Twitter, I just like delete my tweet. I don't know. I guess I've been on Twitter so long, I've figured out ways to work around it. So, or like I train myself to like triple check before I send something, but yeah.
Okay, but what's even more fun with Twitter is it's now letting you combine photos, videos, and GIFs in one tweet.
I do appreciate that feature. I have used it a couple many times now.
Yes, multimedia posts are fun.
Amazon kills the Scout.
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago was not a good day for last mile robot delivery services. So Amazon had the robot scout, which delivered things. And it they've now ended those field tests. Poor robot.
Oh. Yeah, and then also FedEx killed their version of the same type of robot as well.
Yeah, and on the exact same day, so FedEx's robot was called Roxo, and that was actually being used to deliver products, from what I understand.
Oh, that's still.
Whereas
Oh, okay.
the Scout robot was still in internal testing.
Amazon doesn't do all of it. I mean, FedEx and UPS do a lot of Amazon's last mile stuff, so, and a lot of third-party contractors. So, and well, I mean, Amazon does not do a lot of its own last mile stuff. So I think that's why they were trying to build out Scout to kind of help with that. So even a lot of the people that you see driving around in Amazon trucks, those are actually like third-party contractors. Do we have to cover this?
Why? It's fun.
It's disgusting from a person that already arguably has too much money anyway.
Okay, I thought the concept was fun. So,
Have you ever
Elon,
smelt burnt hair?
I am a girl that routinely solders. I have burnt my own hair many, many times.
It's you.
I had him buy this for the novelty.
There are so many
But
better things to buy for $100 for the
oh, the order
novelty.
didn't go through. I tried to get him to buy it, but it didn't work. Anyways, Elon Musk made a cologne. It smells like burnt hair.
And it's a
It
hundred dollars.
was $100, but it's a cool little bottle. But I love it how Elon Musk tweets and then somehow turns it into a legitimate product, like the Not a Flamethrower, and now burnt hair or short shorts.
Yeah, this is just nasty.
But
All right, moving on.
10,000 people bought it.
10,000 people buy Elon Musk flavored bath water.
I didn't say that the population was getting smarter, but you never know. It was funny.
It's a funny joke, but just anyway. Moving on. My disgust is going to continue to register if we don't move on. There's a Razer announcement. Do new noise canceling headphones.
They're not new. They're
Ever?
the same ones. They just are now coming to Xbox and PlayStation.
Oh, okay. It's so funny how like just AirPods are a thing. You know, I mean, everyone has them, and there are like. You can buy these things now from $30 all the way up to like $300 now. Pick your
Yes.
features and price range and build quality.
And
So do you,
colors.
in colors, do you want a Razer that's built for gaming and built for the Xbox? Now you can get one for $150 with your beloved Razer brand, USB Type-C charging. Pretty long battery life at 30 hours of total use with a charging case. Yeah. Let's see. Apparently, make sure you get the right model depending on your console because the Xbox One has a special security chip in it that well, require that's required for audio transmitters. So make sure you buy the one. Buy the one for your specific consoles.
Yes.
It's called the I'm sorry, it's the Hammerhead Hyperspeed if you want to check it out.
So, Razer Edge is another cloud gaming Android handhelds.
Yeah, I guess we oh it got bifurcated. Yeah. This one's interesting. It's like a switch. if the Switch were an Android tablet. But yeah, basically the Ray is like the Razer Kishi joystick for Android in between like a Razer tablet. So it's a basically a 7-inch tablet that can be removed from the controller if you want to use it like for game, I mean for like touch games or I guess watching video or something like that. When you do plug it into the controller, you do get the haptics and a 3.5 millimeter headphone jack. Oh, interesting. This is a different game pad from the Kishi. This is like a more capable one. That's interesting. So I guess the Kishi doesn't have haptics built into it. So the tablet looks like it has a pretty good screen. It's an OLED screen, 144 hertz refresh rate, 8 gigs of RAM and 128 gigs of storage. It does have Bluetooth for headphones and Wi-Fi 6E, which is good for streaming games. It does have a front-facing camera as well, so you could use it for like a Zoom call if you as well. Yeah, basically,
It's
it's
the Razer competitor to the Logitech Cloud Gaming handheld.
yeah, it's more a design to like look like, I mean, act like a Switch. So you pick your preference. Some people like Devin want the combined unit. I like the adaptive unit, but
Honestly, I don't see the point in the adaptive unit because I don't see the point of buying this device when you can just buy a Kishi and clip it onto your phone and play games on your phone. Why are you
well,
spending another $400 when you can buy a $100 unit, which can do essentially the same thing?
but then you have this little dedicated gaming tablet.
Yeah, to me, that's just, I don't know. I'd rather have a dedicated gaming device versus essentially buying a separate little tablet and
But
clip-on thing. It's either go
it's
all
a
the way and buy
package.
another device or just
But
buy the clip-on controller.
well, but this is a dedicated device, so it just has re removable parts.
This honestly feels like an iPod Touch with a fancy controller. This is what this feels like to me.
And there is no more iPod Touch, so there's a hole in people's lives for gaming devices like this that can play Android games. And when I mean Android games, I really mean running emulators, because this thing's going to be really great for emulating like old
I
Nintendo
don't
and
know.
Sega games.
I prefer the Logitech over the Razer, but then again, I also just don't like playing mobile games.
I mean, again, that's why I like the cloud streaming stuff. I would rather stream like a console game to this thing than a whole bunch of mobile games, so.
Yeah, either way, it is comparable to the Logitech.
And there will be a in January, there's going to be a 5G Verizon model as well with ultra wideband support, if you can ever find Verizon ultra wideband support anywhere other than a football stadium. So
And then, because everyone is making them now, Turtle Beach has a Atom controller which clamps onto your Android phone for $100, which is the Turtle Beach version of the Razer Kishi. Kishi? Kishi?
and versus the backbone one, which seems to be the reigning champion. Yeah, I think we're going to see a bunch of these, especially as cloud streaming because becomes more and more of a thing, because people are going to want different ergonomics. I mean, kind of like there are a million different video game controllers now. We're going to see a million different one of these. So I do like how, oh God, I hate having the Turtle Beach brand. I don't like Turtle Beach anyway. I just do not like
Why
their
do you not
stuff.
like Turtle Beach?
I just don't like the way any of their stuff looks.
Oh, I've really growing up, I always wanted Turtle Beach headphones because I thought they
No,
looked really cool.
they're just kind of angular, and I don't like their color choice or their font choice, or yeah, just not my style.
Okay. Well, what is really cool? So, like, I would honestly rather buy this than the Razer product because it's just okay. If I want a game on my phone, I'll clamp the controller on my phone and play a game. But anyways, I really like how this one, it twists and inverts in on itself magnetically, and so it actually folds up really compact for traveling.
Oh, that's a neat. I didn't realize it did that. That's look
Yeah, if
lovely.
you scroll down halfway through the article and click through the thing.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, so it folds in half and then you can plug it in.
Oh, okay. That's a pretty cool little feature. So,
Yeah, so rather than being like a breakable long thing with a void in the middle, it stows away pretty nicely.
No, very cool. And that's why the competition is good. Maybe Razer will copy that, and maybe Backlon will copy that as well. So.
Yeah, so it's designed for cloud gaming, streaming services like Xbox Game Pass, GeForce Now, Steam Link. Doesn't mention anything to do with PlayStation. And surprisingly, this is an Android product, not an iPhone product. I'm not complaining. All
Sorry,
right. So,
head is running on steam.
Apple had a really small event. That's kind of confusing, but here we go. There are new iPad Pros.
This is a result of Tim Cook being a really good industrial and system engineer, and he looks at all the numbers and he keeps exactly what they need in the product line to make sense to cover every price point, but it does lead to too many things. So anyway, the iPad line is big now, but first things first, let's do the easy one. There's a new iPad Pro. So very minor spec bump, but you know what? Minor spec bump, so fine. We used to complain about Apple like sitting on devices and like months and months or even years and just like not updating them until they had something really, really big to announce. And then the device is getting so behind and long in the tooth that people were like, come on, I don't want to buy a processor that's 18 months old. So anyway, that being said, it's a boring update. The iPad Pro 11 and 12.9 both got the M2 processor, which is a pretty beefy update, and Wi-Fi 6E. Other than that, there's a new like hover feature on the Apple Pencil. That's you can like hover your it kind of does like hover states. So if you hover the pencil over the screen, you can get like link previews, or you can do like scratching on whenever you're like drawing, or use it to like preview different stuff. So it'll be fun to see what different developers can do with that. The big like re the what's really most interesting about the M2 Pro is what they kind of like hinted at the video, because this is a 10-minute video you can go watch on YouTube. And that basically DaVinci Resolve, which is an incredibly high-end video editor, is coming to the iPad. So Blackmagic's beloved video editing app is coming to the iPad Pro. So between a lot of like the there will be a free version of this as well, and there's going to be a paid one. But the cool thing about like DaVinci Resolve is it's going to work with a desktop version of DaVinci. So between like this and like all the new Lightroom and Photoshop stuff, like the iPad Pro is like finally getting like professional level applications.
We'll cover this next week because Adobe Max also had an event. Lightroom is basically just magic now.
Oh yes, Lightroom and then Photoshop, and like they've been every it seems like since they announced Photoshop and Lightroom on the iPad, every couple of months they keep adding features and adding features and adding features. So like they're becoming like it's becoming like a portable version of Adobe Creative Cloud on a device that's like an inch thick and has incredibly long battery life. So yeah, DaVinci Resolve is going to be exciting, and it's arriving in Q4 later this year. All right, so this is where the line gets confusing, but I will simplify it for you. Oh, that link was not the link I meant to click. Okay, So there are new normal iPads. The 10th generation iPad has a brand new look. So they got rid of the home screen. I'm sorry, the home button. It's the bezel-like design of the Air and the Pros. It comes in one, two, three, four really incredibly bright colors. So flatter design. It's still the same 6.9-inch
Which,
Retina
by the way,
display.
tech competitors, when people say they want colors, this is what they mean. Normal, bright colors, not muted mountain forest purple.
Or like moss green.
Yeah.
Like silver and moss green.
No, we want pink and yellow, not robin egg blue.
Oh, and these are super bright colors too.
Oh yeah, did you
They're
see iJustine's video?
it's so pink.
It is
And
so pink, and I love it.
so also they it does have USB type C. And the it's like a laptop in the sense that they move the front-facing camera to the landscape portrait orientation now, finally. Unfortunately, it does use the Apple Pencil 1, which is real strange. My theory on that is basically two types of users use the Apple Pencil: education and like pro slash business users. The education users are going to buy the cheapest possible iPad, which is not this thing, and then the pro people will buy the iPad Pro.
Well, then where
So,
does the new Logitech crayon come in?
well, that's why that exists, is the Logitech Crayon is $75, so it's like $125 cheaper than the Apple Pencil, and it supports USB-C. So my suspicion is it came out like the same day that this came out, and I think Apple was like, "Hey, Logitech, can you make this thing for us? Because we don't want to put the higher, the extra bits in there, because like
Well, no,
this
the
thing is."
cool thing is that the crayon 2 work, you can buy it. The cr original crayon, you could only buy it through education.
Yes, so if you buy an iPad, this $450 iPad, that would be the one that I would recommend buying. I think in order for that to make that thing work, you had to have the Apple Pencil 1 stuff built into the screen. So, yeah, I think most people don't use the pencil unless they're like, I mean, for school or for work, but they do have an adapter that does come with all every single Apple Pencil 1 now. That's like a lightning to type C, and it's strange, and I don't recommend it. But like, if you already have an Apple Pencil from a previous iPad, you can get the $10 adapter and make it work. So is it ideal? No, but like it's fine. One of the more interesting things is the new Magic Keyboard Folio is like a Surface. It's like a Surface Pro, so it has like a kickstand on it, and you can remove the keyboard. And holy cow, all of these stories are so buggy. Sorry, the Verge website's really buggy tonight. It does have
I
fun.
was very confused why this was so controversial on Twitter.
People are angry about this. For one, okay, a couple of reasons. The Pro didn't get the function keys. The iPad Pro Magic Keyboard does not have the function keys. So the Pro people are very upset that there's not the function keys on this thing, on the professional device.
Okay, I did not realize this said function keys.
Yes, and my understanding is Apple probably did that because people buy this level of iPad for home use, but I mean, a lot more people are working in like virtual desktop environments now, and you do need function keys for that. So if you're remoting into like a Windows 10 or a Windows 11 computer for work with this thing just to like do something real quick, it is handy to have those keys. So my understanding is like that's why those keys were added. So yeah, it's I don't I like the Magic Keyboard design because it's like a laptop and it's like lappable, that you can put it on your lap and you can type with minimal wobble. This thing I don't like as much because you really have to put it on a flat surface. You can't just, does that make sense?
Yeah, this is not laughable. This is must be sat on a flat surface.
So honestly,
That's
I
not a
think
problem, but
it's just not my favorite.
yeah.
I think it's a good design for the type of people buying this product, because this is for someone who wants a tablet first and foremost. I doubt most people even get that keyboard. Most people are just going to get like a keyboard folio case with it, or some kind of, want some way to protect the screen. But like, this will do all of the iPad stuff you could possibly want. You know what I mean? Like games, videos, surfing the web, TikTok, all of that, video games really well. And there are going to be some people for which they want to get a little bit of work done on it, maybe in a virtual environment, maybe type in papers, that they buy that little keyboard folio. I do like that they did copy the surface in that it, the keyboard does come off, so you can just use it with the kickstand if you want to do that. That's kind of cool. It's real strange because the ninth generation is still for sale, which at this point I don't recommend any iPad with a home button, because I don't think those things are long for this world anymore. And the Air is out, but like, there's not, unless you want Stage Manager or Apple Pencil 2 support, there's not really a good reason to buy the Air at this point. You know what I mean? Because like, either you will be very happy with the iPad, the 10th generation iPad, that and the colorful ones, or you're going to want all the pro features and you're going to get a lot more bang for your buck just going up to the pro. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. iPads are confusing to buy now.
They are. So like, I am just going to pretend that the Air does not exist anymore. I'm just going to be like, okay, when someone comes to me for a recommendation, I'm going to be like, you got the iPad. What are you going to do? Okay, you got the iPad and you got the iPad Pro. When they tell me what they want to do, most of my recommendations are probably going to probably be for the normal iPad. So,
Yeah.
but yeah,
But there's also
I,
the mini.
yes, the Mini is like a small version of this, which is a little ironic because the Mini is actually more money than the 10th generation iPad is now. The Mini is it's $50 more. So, but yeah, like, I'm kind of, I'll be glad when they retire the Air. Like, to be honest with you, I was never super comfortable with the Air, just because like, I felt like the Air tried to be too much like the iPad Pro, and it pushed the baseline iPad price above the classic $500. And I felt
Well, I'm
like,
on the Apple website right now and immediately iPads and then iPad Pros, iPad Minis, and then right at the bottom, oh yeah, iPad Air.
yeah, I think the sweet spot for like a all around general purpose iPad is $450 to $500. And then once you start getting above that, you start getting into the pro territory, and you have to ask yourself, do I just go up to the pro at this point? So, but yeah, again, I wish they would just kill the Air, because like, if they just brought it down to like, hey, you can buy the iPad or the iPad Pro, or if you're a school, you can buy the previous generation. I think that would make their product line infinitely, less confusing. There are just too many iPads now. All right. iOS 16 came out this week, and so did Ventura. Yeah, those are out. Those are free updates. They're available. I don't have enough time to go into those. We can go into those another day. There
But
was a new.
more importantly, there's a new Apple TV remote and it's USB-C and I want it.
There is also coincidentally a new Apple TV. The new Apple TV, for all of them are now 4K, And so they got two models. They got the $130 model, which is $20 cheaper than last year's. It does not have an Ethernet port, which some people will care, other people will not. And it comes with 64 gigs of storage, which used to be the storage for the big one. Then there's the 150 one step up model that does come with a Matter radio. So if you're building a smart home, it's a good center of your smart home. And it does come with Ethernet and 128 gigs of storage. So the big update this year is it has HDR 10 plus, which is like an open source version of Dolby Vision, HDR, and Samsung and Adobe TV support it. And if you got a Samsung TV and you want like basically Dolby HDR support, you're going to want to upgrade to this thing if you have a Samsung TV, because Samsung's like the only one that didn't support Dolby Vision HDR. So yeah, overall solid little update. Also, if you look at it real close, on top of having a USB type C remote, it also got like a little bit thinner too. So yeah. Oh man, I think we've come to an end, and actually
we have.
Well, actually earlier than I anticipated. I thought we were going to run right up to your next meeting. You actually got a few minutes to go grab a snack.
I have enough time to get food. Yay. All right, Obi, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on all the social things, Medium, Instagram, and Twitter at Obi Henning.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at DevonJCR. Until next time, stay safe. Keep an eye out for all the new tech products. And until next time, stay curious.